Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on KX93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5. All right, this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. This is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show, and we'll be back after these songs. All righty. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I am happy to have in studio Wendy Daly, Allison Hardison, Alyssa Hardison, and Pam Turin. No? Uh-uh. You weren't in the email? Oh, shoot. Yeah, you're good.
I'm Delana May.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Alyssa.
It's okay. I think Alyssa set everything up.
So
that's probably why you have her name.
So, all right. So when we get to you, we'll have to get your name again. So you guys are with International Sanctuary, right?
Yeah.
Good morning.
I got that part right, us. Right?
Definitely.
All right. So what do you guys do?
So we're a nonprofit. We empower survivors of human trafficking.
This is Wendy speaking.
Yeah. Good morning. Thanks so much for having us, Ernest.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So you work with survivors of human trafficking. And so how did you get involved in that?
Yeah, correct. Well, it was 2005 when I was living in Phnom Penh, Cambodia.
Okay.
And just saw it happening firsthand.
So, oh, my gosh.
That time, it was not a human. Human trafficking was not a common term.
Right.
And it was just, I was entering restaurants, everywhere, you know, wherever I went, it was just in my face. You couldn't escape it.
How so? I mean, because usually that, you kind of do that on the sly, right?
No. It's so profitable. It's just, the whole city is rampant. So I'd have a cup of coffee down by the river and see girls 14 years old with men old enough to be their grandfathers.
Oh, got it. So. And so you came back, or did you start working on it then?
No, I came back from that, and I just was having a really tough time reconciling what I had witnessed over my year when I was living there teaching English, and partnered up with a friend who was moving to India to help girls that were coming out of this horror.
Okay.
But I learned that it wasn't just in India. It wasn't just in Cambodia. I was shocked to learn that it was happening right here in the United States, mm-hmm. and right here in Orange County.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. We've had different guests that have addressed this issue, and yeah, I was shocked to hear Orange County, right here. Yeah.
Well, and I'll be honest, you know, we want to justify and just say, oh, it's over there. It's over there off of Harbor. No, when you look at the No City is Immune map,
okay,
it shows exactly where trafficking is happening, and it is all every single town and city in Orange County. Laguna Beach, San Juan Capistrano, not San Juan, not Laguna.
Right.
Not Irvine, not
Wait,
the safest
what?
City where
right.
we chose to have our headquarters.
And so you said No City is Immune map, there's such a thing?
Correct, yeah.
And did you guys put that together?
We are part of the Orange County Human Trafficking Task Force.
Okay.
And so the task force.
Oh, got it.
Tracks.
And so how long have you been doing this?
We were founded in 2007.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how do you help? What do you guys do?
Yeah. So we're part of a larger network and a coalition, because when you address anti-trafficking efforts, we really have to combat it from a collaborative standpoint, from a network.
Right.
When it comes
right.
to trafficking, they're networked. And so in order to fight it, we have to be networked.
Right.
There is no one organization that can eradicate trafficking.
Sure.
So our portion that we come in with is in the aftercare. And so once the girl has been extracted, once she has been placed in a shelter, given residential help, emergency services, food, clothing, shelter, then what? How do you help a girl begin to heal?
She's saved, right? You're done.
Yeah, she's free.
Right?
She's free, right, Delana? That's all, Wendy. So we start with something very simple, and it's a job.
Okay.
So we start with employment as just an invitation to provide them employment, a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of like a community center, a place for them to come on a daily basis.
Okay. And what is that like when you go and, I mean, obviously it's sad and horrifying and all of that, but when you first make contact, you know, what are they like? Are they...
Well, we come in as an interview. And so I've had girls sit down and they say, oh, I'm not looking for a program. No. I don't want a program.
Right.
And so it's, no, you're here for a job. So that is the relationship
Got
that
it.
We take. And that's the stance that we take. And so within that context, we remove the label of victim, we remove the label of trafficking, and we invite them into our sanctuaries to have a job.
Oh, on the mic a little
and
bit.
And so Delena May, our sanctuary director here in Orange County, can speak a little bit more to firsthand.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, you know, women that come in are in really different places. You know, some people are really new, you know, recently escaped. Some people have had quite a bit of time. And they're all looking for something different. But I think what's really special about this organization is that they're not clients. They're not survivors or just survivors. They're employees and they're coworkers,
okay,
which is a really different relationship.
So really get them engaged in something outside of their trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and right I mean away. The idea is that they're reintegrating back into the community. They're just becoming normal, productive members of our community with us and alongside us. So it's a really cool relationship because you see a lot of people shift in their minds while they're working with us, and going from somebody that's just receiving services or somebody that's really holding this victim label
to somebody
that just sees themselves as a normal person in society again.
Right, and just starting to build a life again. Mm-hmm. All right.
Exactly.
Were you going to say something? Oh, no. Okay. Then I'll say something. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. And today my guests are Delena May, Wendy Daly, and Pam Turin, and they are from International Sanctuary, and they help victims of human trafficking. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more from the group. Oh, gosh. Well, perhaps not. All right, here we go.
Yeah. Just about the front door like a ghost into a fog where no one notices the contrast of white on white. And in between the moon and you, angels get a better view of the crumbling difference between wrong and right. Well, I walk in the air between the rain, through myself and back again, where I don't know. Maria says she's dying, through the door I hear her crying, why I don't know. Round here we always stand up straight. Round here something radiates. Maria came from Nashville with a suitcase in her hand. She says she'd like to meet a boy who looks like Elvis. And she walks along the edge of where the ocean meets the land, just like she's walking on a wire in a circus. Parks her car outside of my house and takes her clothes off. Says she's close to understanding Jesus, and she knows she's more than just a little misunderstood. She has trouble acting normal when she's nervous. Right here the car.
All right, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do the show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I have in studio Pam Turin, Delana May, and Wendy Daly of International Sanctuary, and they work with victims of human trafficking. So when we left off, we talked a little bit about how you got involved, Wendy, and what the problem is and where it is. Hello. And also what your role is in helping them after they've been kind of rescued and trying to get them back on the right course. So how does it work here? Like you said, in Phnom Penh, it was just like super obvious. And here it seems to be under the radar a bit. Mm-hmm. In fact, so much so that people would think, oh, that's, you know, something that happens elsewhere. Mm-hmm. What does it look like here?
Yeah, it is masked because we think we live in a free country, right, where everyone has rights and everyone has rights
right,
to freedom.
Right.
So there's 17,000 people approximately trafficked into the U.S. each year. That's not counting Americans. And so what okay. that looks like is foreign nationals that are thinking they're coming to the U.S. on temporary work visas, all okay. the paperwork's in place.
Okay.
But their passports are taken away,
they get here.
It appears like work. Maybe they are domestic servants, they're okay. house help. Maybe they are in a massage parlor, and it looks like prostitution. And so a lot of people write it off as prostitution, but there is no choice from this woman or young girl, okay. and she is trapped and enslaved.
Okay, got it.
That's foreigners. I mean, we can talk about Americans.
Right. I mean, in Orange County.
Wait, but Americans?
Yeah, in Orange County, of the survivors that escaped and kind of went through the task force, mm-hmm. In the last couple of years, the statistics was 80% of them were American.
Correct.
So the vast majority of the women that we are seeing are not foreign nationals. They're American women.
And so how does that cycle work, or is it do you know, or is it so different each time?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's related to a lot of factors. So things like poverty, things like childhood abuse. I think 100% of the ones that came through in the last 2 years that were minors were involved in the child welfare system, either as delinquents or as dependents. And okay. so, you know, the foster care system, a lot of the kids that go through that end up trafficked, a lot of runaways and things.
Right.
So there's
I
a lot of
when
things.
You're 18, the state's duties or responsibilities are over and...
Right, and you might not have anyone to fall back on. You don't have an education. You have no good way
there's
to
no
gain money.
System.
Right, and right. then you bring in other elements of childhood trauma and the things that that does to somebody
sure.
Makes them more vulnerable. And so there's a lot of different ways that people might end up trafficked or even the kind of trafficking that they're involved in. And sometimes it's just kind of one bad decision goes to another bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
You get involved with somebody that's no good, and then eventually
right.
he asks you to do something you don't really want to do, and maybe... You know, at that point, you're on drugs, and so there's a dependency
issue
that
right.
you're trying to feed. And so it just can feed into itself and become this huge, huge deal. It's pretty hard to get untangled from.
Yeah. So on the other side, the untangling, you work by giving them a job. How long does it take them to kind of normalize to get to a point where you feel like they can kind of go on their own steam, or is that even a thing?
I think that's super individual.
Yeah. We're working in India, Uganda, Tijuana here. There are so many factors that contribute to what the industry calls reintegration.
Okay.
For us, we have seen incredible success in girls and women in every country, whether it's their economic independence, the support systems that they're establishing around themselves with whether it's depending on their families, if they have family support or not, if their
right.
families were part of the transaction of the sale. But it's really about allowing them to help grow and take one step at a time into their future.
And you mentioned that, you know, you're working in more than one country. So you're not just working with victims that are brought here
correct.
Or people who grew up here. How do you decide what areas you can operate in? Or
it's all through partnership.
Okay,
so the 2020 vision that we have that we're coming to a completion of was adopted because of invitations from other organizations saying, please come, our girls and women need jobs.
Okay.
Because they would have shelters, they would provide emergency services, counseling, everything, but then they weren't able to take that final step to rebuild their lives because they didn't have the economic means to.
And so, say you go to India, how do you work on the ground? How do you find jobs, or you know, do you?
So we are a social enterprise. So mm-hmm. we're a brand called Purpose, and so it's all products made by the girls and women.
Okay.
And so we have created a system which would allow them employment.
Oh, okay. So they work for you mm-hmm. making things, and then you guys sell those things mm-hmm. to make it a sustainable operation.
Correct.
And who came up with the idea to do this or the strategy?
Well, a lot goes into the strategy, but I would say that the ultimate vision of the social enterprise belongs to our founder, Stephanie Pallaro, my counterpart.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how did you guys get connected? Or Wendy, how did you get involved in this? How about that?
I'm sorry.
Delana.
So I actually joined International Sanctuary last September, about a year ago now, as the U.S. program director. So we've been working overseas in these other three countries, but involved here in Orange County as well, as a part of the task force and employing women in our home office. Our home office is in Irvine. And so the task force kept saying, hey, you really should open, you know, sanctuary here. We have the same issue here as there is overseas. So I got connected. I'd actually been buying Purpose items for years because they're amazing and knew a lot about the organization. And
so the earrings that Delana has on and Pam has.
I have on.
Yes.
Purposejewelry.org. You can purchase, and it will be shipped out tomorrow when the women come into the office, and you'll receive your
package. Oh, my
gosh.
Right. And 100% goes back to the girls.
Yeah.
Yep.
Huh.
So I shop ethically when I can, and I'd been a customer for a long time, and had just moved back to Orange County. I was working overseas in anti-trafficking.
Oh, really?
In
okay. So, what drew you to that mission in the first place?
I think because in my work overseas, I kept seeing that hole where, you know, women that we had been working with just could never answer, okay, well, how do I sustain myself without going back into the life, without getting re-trafficked or whatever, you know, especially people with low education or low skills. And so I love the mission that kind of filled in that gap
mm-hmm.
And helped people really move from the place of, you know, victim receiving services to member of the community, fully and completely integrated. And I think International Sanctuary is really unique in that way. So I was drawn to that, and I got really lucky. I think I heard that I applied like the day that the job went up and just kind of slid right in there. So I've been having a great time.
Timing
really
is everything,
year.
Huh? Yeah. Right. And Pam, so how did you get involved? What drew you, what drew you to this mission? And then how did you first make contact or become aware of them?
Yeah, so I found out about Purpose Jewelry International Sanctuary about a year and a half ago. I attended a good friend of mine's party at her home where she was basically introducing her girlfriends to International Sanctuary through doing a party called
Hands of Freedom.
Yes.
Okay.
So we all got together, and what we were doing was helping package the jewelry and quality control, and we would drink wine, get together, and then we had the option of purchasing some of the jewelry.
Okay.
And I found it super interesting, and then Wendy was there, and she got up and spoke about how she founded the organization, and the statistics just blew me away. I couldn't believe that this was happening right here in our own backyard. And so I decided that it was my, my duty to step in and help out. Just recently became an empty nester, so that was my goal. I'm going to be an empty nester. I'm going to give back, and I'm going to get involved in an organization I believe in. And so that's how I became involved. So it's been about a year and a half, and I've hosted some jewelry parties at my home and some other friends' homes. And this year I've had the opportunity to host the fundraiser that's coming up next Sunday that we're super excited about. Yes.
Right
here. Fabulous.
In
right here
Laguna
in
Beach.
Laguna Beach. It's 7 degrees a week from today. Proud to say that we're sold out, and it's going to be super exciting. This is the third year that International Sanctuary is hosting.
Wow.
They're fundraisers. So, yeah.
And how you're sold out, so I guess people have been receptive, but you know, I mean, here in Laguna, there's lots of organizations that are always having galas. How's it been organizing an event?
Right. Well, it's probably one of the biggest things I've ever done. I've never chaired an event. I've always been the good soldier, but not the chief. So, but I have to say it's been fantastic because Wendy and everybody at the office, everybody there is so supportive. They all know what they're doing. But, you know, it's all about the village. I know it's cliche, but without the village, it doesn't happen. So definitely have a great village and everything's coming together. We've had people offering up donations. We've had people stepping up and offering all kinds of things that's going to make the life easier for, you know, for the event. So it's going to be fantastic. I think we're excited.
We've had incredible response from the community, great sponsors. We're so thankful for Kettle One and Nolette Gin that are coming on as sponsors the third year. Image Options, Charity Booster, Tanya Ebner and Bullock Russell, Congruity 360, Bill and Kathy Cohen. There's Starfish, right, you know, local
here in Laguna. Engardia Brothers. We can list on and on. There have been
so many
supportive people
Be successful without them. We're so thankful.
So Wendy, you're a founder and I guess still a leader in the group. What's your day like? What is it? What do you do? I mean, what does it feel like?
What does it feel like?
Sure, it's about 20 hats.
Yeah, is it like a juggling act or a flying circus?
I'm still trying to figure that one out. growing as a leader in any organization is a process, and very thankful for leadership coaches that I've had along the way that have been able to speak into the organization, board members that continue to support and just build kind of best practices, even as a business, because as a nonprofit, you have to be profitable.
If you want to continue doing what you're doing,
in
a sustainable way, and not, you know, wear out your volunteers and not wear out yourself.
It is a juggling act, and you know, my role is really just to support and guide to ensure that we're on track with our vision and our mission, that girls are truly embracing their true identity and worth. And so it's not about the job. The job is just the conduit that we use. So from meeting with new supporters, supporting our team members, that's what my day-to-day looks like. But I think it's really Delaina's day-to-day that would be probably more interesting for people to understand kind of in the sanctuary. What does that look like working with our girls firsthand?
Service delivery.
Flying circus is probably accurate. I don't feel like there is any such thing as a normal day for us. Right now we have 6 women currently employed in our sanctuary in Orange County. We have a couple more starting in a couple weeks. And we had our first start in March, so we're about 6 months in, and it's been so much fun. So we are training the women as artisans and working with the jewelry, and we're starting some leather initiatives, working with leather products as well. So some of it's just training how to do those skills training. But a big goal of our program is that whenever they leave, that they are ready for whatever's next and that they're employable. Some women that are coming to us honestly aren't employable in a normal job right now.
Sure.
So they all go through the Dale Carnegie corporate training, which is an amazing thing. It's like a, you know, $3,000 scholarship, basically, that they all get to do through the I-5 Freedom Network, which is one of our partners. So they're going through that and learning interviewing skills and presentation skills, how to manage stress in the workplace, communication, professionalism, all this stuff. And then we do financial management and computer skills.
So life skills.
Tons of life skills. And a lot of it's soft skills. It's how to present professionally, how to communicate professionally, how to show up on time, and how to call in if you can't. You know, just like stuff that feels really basic. But a number of our women have never had a normal job before.
Right.
And then it's even helping them manage, okay, now you have a paycheck. You've never been in control of your paycheck before. Oh. How do you take care of yourself with this? And so that's a big piece. And then just community. I think I've seen the women in our sanctuary become really good friends. Actually, I think they're all going to Knott's Berry Farm this afternoon together just for fun. So they're super supportive. And it's been really interesting because when we designed the program, we were told, well, nobody really stays in Orange County survivor-wise. They're not really often from Orange County. It's so expensive to live here. Just don't expect anybody to stay. That was what we were told.
Okay.
But all of them are staying. And we have 4 of them enrolled in college this semester. So, it's been really incredible. So daily, there's different program things that might be going on, or we're working on, you know, making jewelry. We're starting some of our own pieces now, which is really exciting. So we're kind of getting in the production thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really been awesome.
So you're growing as they grow.
Yeah, I'm learning as they learn. And there are definitely girls that know more about some of these skills than me. And I'm like, okay, I don't, like, will you look at this one? Is this one okay? I'm not sure. You're better at this than I am. So a lot of it's been leadership development. We have some emerging leaders that we're looking at. Yeah. So
okay.
It's
so, and probably amazing. For them, first time that they've really been looked at in that way, right?
I think for some of them, yeah. And I love doing performance reviews, which are supposed to be really scary in employment, right? But we've done a round of performance reviews, and it was really sweet because I had them rate themselves on all these different things, and then I sat with each of them privately and like, okay, well, here's my rating of you. And with every single person, they rated themselves lower in every category that I rated them.
Oh.
And so it was like, to me, it was, oh, wow, like there really are some esteem issues here. Like, it was really sweet to be able to say, you're so good at this. I love having you here.
Oh.
And so, you know, usually performance reviews don't involve,
yeah, that's
like,
not
good
usually
tears.
What they're saying.
Yeah,
no,
good
they're
tears.
Usually like, yeah, you're not getting a raise. We're fortunate enough to be able to keep your spot.
Right. Exactly. I love these women. They're so much fun. They're some of my favorite people. So it's actually a real joy to get to go to work. And
nice.
I really enjoy being with them and just seeing them change, like, and transform, and going from somebody who is really distrustful and skeptical and just assuming the worst about what's going to happen
people.
Next to people with hope and like 5-year plans. That's crazy.
What?
5-year plans, you know, like, this is what I'm going to do. This is where I want to go. So it's very, very cool.
So do you spring out of bed with a song in your heart in the morning?
What song is the question? It's hard. I'm not going to, like, yes, it's really rewarding. But, like, you know, we've had security issues. Our sanctuary is in a secure location. Nobody
right.
knows where it is.
Right.
But we've had participants or women who have had issues with stalkers, or, you know,
sure.
their pimps trying to find them again.
Sure.
And,
sure.
you know, we have women that are involved as witnesses in cases. And so
yep.
there's a lot of that. You know, trauma does a lot of bad things to your body, your emotions and your body physically.
Yep.
So we've had a lot of physical issues this year and women that have needed to be in the hospital. We have someone with cancer diagnosis right now.
Hmm.
And all of our women they're young. They're between 18 and 28. So these are very young women with very complicated medical problems as well. So
sure.
there's a lot of really hard stuff that goes on sometimes. But it's a weird place to work, you know, because the conversations that are had and someone's like, yeah, you know, when you get kidnapped, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And I'm just like, whoa.
Oh, yeah, right?
So I'm getting a bit of an education sometimes, too. And I think it's good that I'm still surprised. I think whenever I'm not surprised anymore, it's
right,
probably a
right,
problem.
Right. Then it'll start. Everything will start feeling gray.
Yeah.
All right. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. My guests this morning, plural guests, are Wendy Daly, Delana May, and Pam Turin, and they are with International Sanctuary, and they are helping save women from human trafficking. This is KX93.5. We'll be right back.
Then a little boy lost in a little world in here. Weary son, sleep tonight. Go crashing into the ocean. Cut the line that ties the tide and moon, ancient and blue.
We take our empty hearts and fill them up with broken things to hang on humming wire like cheap lamps down a dead end street.
And every time we turn away, it hits me like a tidal wave. If I would change for you, but babe, it doesn't mean I'm gonna be a better man.
Give the ocean what I took from you, so one day you can find it in the sand.
And hold it in your hands again. Cold waves kill, cool love. Why won't you fall back in love with me? There ain't no way we're gonna find another the way we sleep all summer. So why won't you fall back in love with me? Combing over broken cross I held on you, haunted by the ghost of something new. Curtains fall, fashions fade, an endless summer over. Another tide to launch an autumn moon over the dunes.
There must be a better way to pull a hole apart, to keep a world from caving in. Another way to while away from you, frozen and
but every time we turn away, it surges like a tidal wave. If I would change for you, but babe, that doesn't mean I'm gonna be a better man. Why won't you fall back in love with me? There ain't no way we're gonna find another the way we sleep all summer. So why won't you fall back in love with me? Why won't you fall back in love with me? Why won't you fall back in love with me? Why won't you fall back in love with me?
All right, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do the show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I'm had the pleasure of speaking with the folks from International Sanctuary, Wendy Daly, Delana May, and Pam Turin. And you guys have an event coming up. There's a chance for people to get involved.
Yes, we do. Our event is a week from today. It's our third annual gala at 7 Degrees at 5 p.m. Like I mentioned before, we are sold out. However, We're always looking for sponsors, donors, underwriters, supporters for our next year's gala. Stay tuned for where that will be, because we are absolutely growing out of our space, and we probably will be in a bigger location next year. But if we can have everybody, you know, tune in and get involved, we're happy to have you be a part of it.
All right. And I forgot to say, like, it's International Sanctuary, and they help victims of human trafficking reintegrate into society. Are there other ways that people can help if they've missed out on the banquet, the event?
Absolutely. As a nonprofit, we strongly believe it's going to take the efforts of all parties in order to really bring human trafficking to an end and to eradicate it. So that's support from government, business, the faith community, the academic community, the nonprofit. So we have a beautiful collaboration in Orange County. And so they can, if you're interested and you're saying, how can I help? What can I do? There are multiple ways that you can support today. The first one I want to make sure everyone captures is the hotline. And it's a national hotline. It's run through one of our partners, Polaris, out of Washington, D.C. And that number is 888-3737-888. And I encourage you to call it, even if you suspect something, you see something that just isn't quite right. It doesn't have to be 100%. You know for a fact that this situation is human trafficking. Leave it to the authorities and the experts to figure that out. But if you see something that you think something is not right here, call in the number 888-3737-888, and the authorities will it will get to the right to be able to investigate.
And do you guys have a website? Do you guys have volunteers? Do you guys?
Yeah, so internationalsanctuary.com is our website. You can also look at purposejewelry.org. So, I mean, one way to support our organization, obviously, is purchasing the jewelry that our women are making. And, you know, that money goes right back into their paychecks. So that's kind of the whole point.
Nice.
We also have a ton of volunteers here locally. We have our headquarters, and people come in to work on jewelry and things like that, and packaging and just supporting. I also do utilize some volunteers that come in basically as interns for me or mentors. Each of the women that work in my office is paired up with a mentor that's gone through some training with the Orange County Human Trafficking Task Force. So, you know, they have somebody that can sit down with them and just kind of work through, like, what's your plan? Like, where do you want to go and how do we get there? Kind of giving me some space. And then if it's like, I hate my boss, which is not true, but if it were true, they have somebody that they can kind of work on. Well, how do I manage this in a professional place? That's the idea. But we also are a part of the task force in Orange County. And I heard somewhere there's like 200 to 400 volunteers. These are just private citizens in Orange County that want to be involved in anti-trafficking in some way. Sometimes they're driving a survivor to a doctor's appointment or, you know, like there's tons of different ways.
Right,
and it really doesn't matter what your skill set is. They'll probably find a place for you so you can get in touch. Waymakers is our partner that runs the volunteer program for the task force. So that's a great way to get involved kind of on a bigger scale as well. So, yeah, there's a lot
of stuff. Can host a jewelry party at your home or your friend's home. That's how I got started. That's a really fun thing to do as well.
The holidays are coming up, and so it's a great way to give meaningful gifts. And so we really appreciate all the support at Christmas. Corporate gifts, absolutely. If you are looking for several hundred pieces, you know, we're happy to work with you in order to ensure that you have a meaningful gift for your clients.
Well, wow. One last time with your website. And then I think we'll wrap this up.
Yeah, the website is internationalsanctuary.com.
Oh, that wasn't very loud.
Sorry, it's internationalsanctuary.com is the website.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. And please keep up the wonderful work that you're doing. And hopefully we'll eradicate human trafficking everywhere, but certainly in Orange County very soon. This is KX93.5. You've been listening to the Importance of Being show. And that's all the time we have. Stay tuned.
Anyways, on deep.